Wisconsin will play a crucial role in this year's presidential election as an important swing state. Because of this, WUWM has been talking with voters about what issues are important to them and how they feel about the candidates, Democratic President Joe Biden and Republican former President Donald Trump. WUWM brought together a group of voters for a roundtable discussion ahead of the upcoming RNC. All are Trump supporters, some enthusiastic and some hesitant. The conversation was moderated by Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and WUWM's Mayan Silver. It was recorded on June 26th, before the presidential debate. A note to our listeners, you'll be hearing people express their own political opinions in a free-flowing conversation.
We will start with Alex H. on my right and go round. But first question is very simple. In one word, how are you feeling about the November presidential election?
Ecstatic.
Giselle?
Mm-hmm. Hopeful.
Rebecca?
Yeah, I would say hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Excited.
Alex. And Greg?
Transition.
So I'll start with Greg, actually. Why do you say transition? Do you want to add anything to why that is the word you picked?
I think people are looking for change, expecting change, and expecting empowerment with that change.
Looks like everyone's overall fairly positive and excited about the election coming up. And I see a lot of nodding of heads. Okay. So this is a group of conservative voters, which we already know, or conservative leaning, and we'd like to know more about that. So we'd like to know what issues make you align with the Republican Party or conservatism. And we'll start with, go ahead, Greg.
To me, conservatism means to me to conserve certain ideas, certain institutions, certain ways of successful methods of operation that we've used in the past, certain successful models. It means to conserve those things, values and principles, and hold on to what we've done right. That's what I think it means to me, and it's why I'm a conservative.
So conservatism, is there anything in terms of the ideas or issues that speaks to you?
In particular, they're just a set of core values that society has shifted away from. And we tend to do that when we get successful and when we start, things are going good and right. We tend to, as a people, move away from the things that we should conserve when things are going too well. And that's what you mean. You have to go back and conserve some of those old ideas because we're losing it in many different areas.
Go ahead, Alex L.
Thank you. I can probably just simply take it from there a little bit and expand on it. Conservatism today is not the same as what conservatism was meant in the 1960s, not even the 1970s. I am an immigrant in this country, a refugee immigrant from persecution back in the Soviet Union. And conservatism to me, when I came over, I was very young, and I was a Democrat, and I voted Democrat. And there is a big difference between what Democrat Party stood for back then versus what is leftism today.
So we're asking you to basically explain why you personally align with conservatism.
I align personally with conservatism because I see the leftist side, not liberal, leftist side, which is represented by Democrats today, as anti-Semitic, which I've experienced and seen in the Soviet Union, throughout the world, and it has now come to nest in the Democratic Party in America. So anti-Semitism is one of the reasons I'm conservative. Individualism is another reason I'm conservative, because collectivism is the other side. I believe in individualism. And the other thing is economic freedom. Both economic, social, and personal freedom is the reason I am a conservative based on today's definition of that word. So that's where we're at.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, go ahead, Rebecca.
Yeah, so I'm a conservative because I, you know, we all need the government to do certain things for us, but we don't need the government to be in our lives, like making decisions for us. And I think a really good example these days is of all the things that happened with COVID, where the government decided, oh, we're going to shut down. And the government decided, oh, we need to have mandates for vaccinations and those kinds of things. And in my own household or in my own community, I can make choices that affect me, that affect my family. And I want to be able to do that and not have government always telling me, oh, you need to do this because we're expecting everyone to do that. No, there's a place where I need to be able to say that, no, my choice is not what you're saying. I don't believe what you're saying. And so that's why I'm a conservative.
All right, thanks. Go ahead, Giselle.
So I wouldn't consider myself a conservative per se. I live in that uncomfortable middle ground gray area that exists right now in politics. Why I lean more towards conservative policy in my life today is because I believe in democracy and the American dream. I was fortunate enough to experience it through my education, and I want that for my siblings that are coming right behind me and one day for my future children.
Thank you, Giselle. Okay, Alex H.
So I'm a conservative because I believe in the true conservative grassroots, and those can be classified as America having a secure border, limited government, low taxes, freedom of speech, freedom to own guns. So I fully believe in the grassroots, and that's why I'm a conservative.
All right. So hypothetically, say the election's tomorrow, who would you vote for president and why? Alex H.?
I'm voting for Donald J. Trump. I believe he entails the grassroots conservative movement extremely well, and his 4 years in office were a huge success. So he's got my vote.
Giselle.
It would be a very difficult decision all the way up to the poll, but I would also vote for Trump because under the Biden administration, my sister's education has been in jeopardy. And so that would be the basis of my decision.
I too would vote for Donald Trump. I feel like Alex said, that he had a very successful 4 years, and I was surprised that he was not elected this last time around. And I feel like he did not finish what he started, and he will hopefully have a chance to finish what he started and do even more, considering certain things going on in the country like the open border and crime wave in different cities and things along those lines. So,
all right, and Alex.
I would crawl through any object to vote for Donald Trump this time around, and I would support him. I would support others who would support him. And the fact that they just convicted him of political crimes, political persecution, in my opinion, just brings back Soviet Union to me. I will make it a point to make sure I bring out as many people as possible to vote for Donald Trump.
And Greg?
I support Donald Trump.
All right. So, Giselle, I want to swing back to you real quick. Can you explain a little more about your sister's educational experience and why you think it was in jeopardy under Biden?
So I am a beneficiary of the Milwaukee Parental School Choice Program, and my sisters now attend a charter school. Biden has been very open on his lack of support for school choice and charter schools. One of my sisters is autistic, and her school has played such a huge role in her being confident in going to university after. And so as us three just being the first in our family to ever be educated, coming from a father that, you know, he was a fisherman, my mom was a housewife, our education matters so much to us. And so to know that we live in a community where our schools are underperforming and these options are kind of like our way to escape generational poverty.
And then another thing that you said was that it'd be a hard slog up until the ballot box, right? Do you wish that you had other options besides Trump?
No. So it is a difficult decision because I voted Democrat in the past, and I was almost kind of taught that that was the party that supported us. And so thinking for myself and coming to understand why I wanted to vote differently this time has been kind of like a touring process where I'm like, am I betraying my community for thinking about my vote a little bit more deeper? That's why I feel so torn. And I would have preferred to have more options and also like just a political climate that wasn't so hostile. But right now, this is just kind of the options that we have.
This is Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski here with reporter Mayan Silver. We're talking to a roundtable of five conservative-leaning Wisconsin voters about what's on their minds ahead of the November presidential election.
So basically, it seems like everyone here in this room is fairly solid about voting for Trump. How do you feel about the direction of the Republican Party? Because Trump's at the helm. Are you all on board with that? Is there anything that gives you pause? Go ahead, Alex L.
Today's political environment is such that I have absolutely no concerns on the Republican side. As a party, I can't think of a single, well, maybe one total issue that I would have any concern or disagreement on at all. I've never had this before in my entire life where one party has gone so far left off the rails that the other party, no matter what demonization is being done, when you look at the reality of who the people are in this room. We are normal people with normal jobs. And any one of us who speaks the way we're speaking here out in public, and if there is leftists out there, we take so much incoming that the demonization of all of us is intense. I'm in the Jewish community. 75% of the Jewish community is liberal. I am attacked.
So you mentioned that there was one issue that you were partially torn on. What is that?
I believe there's a divisive issue on abortion. And that's an issue I believe that should be put to the people. It should be put to a vote. And people need to decide. Period. It's not up to politicians to direct us, any of us. We should have a choice. They shouldn't do all in or all out. They should put in number of weeks and let the people decide at what period abortion should be cut off.
Thank you, Alex. All right, so we're going to go to Giselle just in terms of weighing in on the direction of the Republican Party under Trump.
So the way that I see it, I'm immersed in politics because I am so passionate about education. And so when I vote, I'm voting for policy, not for candidates. The exposure that I've had to the Republican Party has been through leaders that I admire that are champions for education freedom. And so what I would say is that when I'm, you know, looking at the future of the Republican Party, the sentiment is that, you know, getting through these 4 years, we are going to be collateral regardless on what side you're voting. So it's kind of picking your poison, seeing which issues you're most passionate about and you truly want to see a difference, and allowing that it kind of plays out and see what comes out at the end of these 4 years. So I'm not going into the polls like picking for a Valentine. And it's just kind of how I would describe it. Like, I am very hopeful that because Trump has expressed his support for education freedom, I will see that change during his term.
So would you say that you are a one-issue voter at this point for Trump, or is it multiple issues?
Yeah, I would say I am. One-issue voter.
One issue. Okay. So we're talking about the direction of the Republican Party under Trump. Rebecca, if you'd like to weigh in.
I mean, I agree with Alex, Ellison, that, you know, if we speak up in public, we have people that will come against us. I work in Milwaukee Public Schools is where I actually work as a teacher. And so I also am very cautious when I go to larger meetings in the school district that, you know, can I speak out on something? I feel like I can't oftentimes speak up on something that I disagree with, because I know that, you know, maybe a certain high majority of the people in the room would be in favor of what it is that they're talking about. I agree that abortion is a very challenging topic, and you know, I applaud your thought that It's not something that politicians should really be weighing in on, that, yes, the people should decide. I feel like that is a big issue that maybe causes a lot more people pause to vote for Trump, that they're concerned that he's going to do something related to that.
So we're talking about the direction of the Republican Party under Trump. We've also got what happened on January 6th and his claims about winning Wisconsin, which was legitimately won for President Biden. Do you have any responses to that, or responses to Trump critics who say that Trump is a threat to democracy?
As far as January 6th goes, my personal belief is that there was no connection between what Trump said or did that day and what the people said or did in the Capitol. I believe the two things were completely separate from each other, and I think that Trump was falsely accused of something that he did not or had no knowledge of and was not involved in.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I think just generally the party as a whole is becoming a lot stronger. I think people and conservatives are starting to wake up and realize that they can't just sit in the back and not share their voice, and they are speaking up and sharing their voices and being heard more and more often. And I've seen that, you know, in Marquette and everything. So I think we're just getting a lot stronger as a whole.
What would you say to someone who's concerned about, you know, the view that Trump is a threat to democracy? Like, if you're having this conversation with someone, how would you address that?
He's not a threat to democracy. Us as conservatives and Trump believe in fair elections. You should have a voter ID when you go to vote, some sort of ID. I don't think that's against democracy to be able to prove who you are when you're submitting your ballot.
Go ahead, Alex L.
I just wanted to respond to that last question about Trump being a threat. I would argue against the entire narrative. I don't think Trump demonstrated any part of a threat. And I believe that's one of those demonization things that I was mentioning about. I understand it's been set as a narrative, as a fact right now, especially in the media. It is not. I would urge anybody in the media to tell me what is it that Trump has done, not said, that's a threat to democracy. Every single thing he did, including in Wisconsin, was legal action. He took it to court. It is exactly what he's supposed to do. He didn't raise an army. He didn't take arms. The January 6th was not an insurrection. It was never an insurrection. That's a word the Democrats came up with to demonize the Republicans. I would definitely hold the people who did violence accountable. All the other verbiage about it and the whole insurrection language is nonsense. It is complete nonsense. I'm sorry, please.
Well, I mean, this issue is being litigated in federal court. So, you know, I mean, that's what's happening. Trump had said for, you know, months and months and years that the election was rigged.
And
the
Democrats said it against him. They didn't show up. Hillary continued to say the election was rigged the entire time through today. She continues to say his election was rigged in 2016. This is nothing unusual for a candidate to say, but what did he do? He took it to court. He didn't take it to the streets. There was never anything going on in the streets as far as violence goes. This was a minor thing on January 6th that I disagree with. Of course, I condemn it, and it shouldn't have happened. That's not it at all. Yes, he talks blusterous. You're absolutely right that maybe a point of disagreement lots of Republicans have with him. However, he does things by the book, by the law.
Biden did win Wisconsin by nearly 21,000 votes. It withstood two partial recounts, a nonpartisan audit, a conservative law firm's review, numerous state and federal lawsuits, and a Republican-ordered review that found no evidence of widespread fraud before the investigator was fired. And you would agree with that?
I would agree with that. Not only do I agree with that, I would go beyond that and to say, and would you suppose, and that this may or may not be a question, but a theoretical question, that just because it's legit that we eliminate Trump's First Amendment right to say that it wasn't? I mean, it's his right to say, as long as he takes no, you know what I mean?
You're listening to Lake Effect. I'm Audrey Nowakowski here with WUWM's Mayon Silver.
We're hearing the personal opinions of five conservative Wisconsin voters ahead of the presidential election. Obviously, the spotlight is going to be on Milwaukee with the Republican National Convention and Trump coming to town in July. Mm-hmm. So for all of you as people who live in this area, how do you feel about the RNC coming? Yeah, Rebecca.
Yeah, so I think it's an amazing opportunity for people to see our city and to get to know, you know, who we are and what we do in the city. I think we have a lot of really awesome, you know, places for people to go and visit, restaurants to eat at. I think it's a great way for people to learn about us if they've never been here before, if they don't know about us nationally. I mean, you know, a lot of talk about Wisconsin being a battleground state, but, you know, the biggest city in the state is Milwaukee. And a lot of people pass us by between Chicago and Minneapolis. So I heard that, like, in the years that people that, you know, run concerts, they go to Chicago, they go to Minneapolis, and they skip us. And why do they skip us? Well, I don't know. There are probably many factors, but this is a chance for us to shine. And I think, in a sense, when COVID hit and when the DNC was supposed to be here, that would have been another opportunity. And I think I'm happy that we have a second chance, considering how the first one with the DNC went, that they kind of shuffled off and weren't really here then because of COVID concerns and that. And I'm happy that, and not only is it that they get to come here, but that it's my party that gets to come here. So I'm happy for that.
Anyone else?
I'm giggly about it. Road through the presidency is coming through Milwaukee County, little old Milwaukee County. I just think it's a good thing for the city overall. I mean, to shine an international spotlight, to be trusted with so many people coming in and, you know, important dignitaries and so many people, normal people that, again, it just want to just preserve and conserve traditional values and I think it'll be a good thing for Milwaukee. Will be talked about for years to come.
Alex H.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to seeing all the young people who are going to be there, because as we know, our generation is about to become the largest voting population. So I think it's going to be good to get those young voters out there and get them ready to start voting.
All right. You know, to get back to issues that are important to all of you that we've all been talking about, most of you actually have connections to immigration. And so specifically, Giselle, you were born in America, but your family is of Mexican heritage. They're from Mexico. Rebecca, your husband is an immigrant from Costa Rica.
Yes, that's right.
Alex, you're a Jewish immigrant from the former Soviet Union. Alex Romick, you are the son of Serbian immigrants. I was wondering if you could all talk about how that aspect of your life is shaping your views on this election. And Giselle, we can start with you.
Yeah, so what my parents have always instilled in me, I'm very proud of my parents and their sacrifices. What they've always instilled in me was that the key to overcoming was education. And so to me, that's kind of like the hill that I'm going to die on, and why I kind of like pursued the career that I'm in now. I think that that's something that the Hispanic community values immensely. They want their kids to have a better life than what they had. And I think that journey, that American dream, is still alive. And the way to continue to support it is by giving parents options. And right now, I don't think that our education system is supporting all families and all different types of students. So definitely that would be why I'm more lenient. I'm more leaning towards supporting people that support school choice. Because it's just the key to achieving the American dream.
Yet on the issue of immigration itself, you've had criticisms of both parties. Is that not correct?
Yeah. So I think that it's always hard to seeing people that you love or that you respect demonized and generalized more than anything. Because I do understand that there is a lot of ways that we could improve when it comes to our immigration system. but also there's a lot of things that are done on both sides of the aisles, and politics makes it messy, and it makes it overly emotional when sometimes it's just logical. Like, what makes sense so that we can move forward as a country and continue to be strong?
Alex H., would you like to weigh in?
Yeah, I think it's clear that the Democrat Party will not secure the border. The Republican Party will. My parents came here the fair and legal way, and I don't think it's fair to them that they had to wait to live the American dream while millions of people today can just cut the line and come in for free. It's not fair. Not fair to my parents and millions of people who think that way as well.
Rebecca?
Yeah, and I agree with that. My husband came in the legal way. We actually were living in Costa Rica, and we had to wait out the process for him to get the permission to come in and then to get the green card once he got here. So we, you know, waited the process that way. We waited the process for him to be a nationalized citizen in the country. And what we're seeing on the border is, you know, we have people that are waiting in the immigration system, and they've been waiting for years, and they've been waiting for decades, and they're still waiting. And these are people that have submitted documents, and that we know these people, and we haven't done anything for them, but we're letting all these people that we don't know into our country.
Go ahead, Alex. Alex L.
Every person that escaped the Soviet Union that I know, the ones that actually are immigrants, not the children of immigrants, I don't know of any that are voting Democrat, like not a single one. What people are not seeing, what we can see as immigrants, clear as day, it's right in front of us, is that today's leftism, not Democrat Party per se, is socialism. So anyway, from my perspective on it, and it is clouded by my personal experience in life, I see that the Democrat side today is trying to drive what I escaped, and I'm fighting it.
Well, Greg, Rebecca, Alex Lakin, Giselle Vera, and Alex Romick, thank you all so much for being here today and participating in WWM's second voter roundtable. We really appreciate your willingness to share your views during a contentious political time.
Thank you so much for having us. Mm-hmm.
That was a group of Wisconsin voters: Alex Romick, Giselle Vera, Rebecca Smith, Alex Lakin, and Greg Kennedy.